Hey there, welcome once again. One Great Work Warriors, we got the whole crew in the house, and I'm really excited to kick this conversation off. The art of the craft, and what about the heart of the craft, and are you the sailor or the captain of your ship sailing, you know, like steering in the right direction, navigating the seas of consciousness, right? And art of the craft, the art of facts, you know, what kind of ancient artifacts have you been digging up, you know, throughout history or within yourself and all these things? And, you know, throughout time and growing up, how many things have you seen like, oh, artsy fartsy or, oh, that's cool. And you see musicians and whatever's on TV and yada yada. And nowadays with the stages of platforms like YouTube and all that stuff, well, I'm sorry, ScrewTube rather, because, you know, they kind of give, you know, conscious cats like us the short end of the shadow ban stick, if you catch that lick. But not to dwell into that, but so the art of facts, really trying to, you know, present the truthful artifacts of what we find on our journeys of awakening and all these things, and trying to portray and express those things to other people. And everyone here on the panel has life experiences and many influences, and we wanted to showcase some things as well as how we, you know, craft our own artistic expressions of lessons and truth and things that can help benefit other people in forms of, yeah, obviously media and video and yada yada. And so we have some interesting little, everyone made their little snippets of how they kind of work their magic and this and that. So yeah, this conversation is meant to be very encouraging, educational, and inspirational for those that are even like have been making videos for years, you know, because like I've been doing this for a dozen years. Chris has been doing this for like pretty much the same, I want to say. Brandon's been in the game for a long ass time. And anyone else, you know, like even 5 years in, whatever, it doesn't really matter. It's like we're all at different levels and we can still correlate and congregate on certain things, especially when it comes to the common ground, fertile soil of natural law and universal or objective morality, if you will, that leads towards freedom, which is what we, I hope, you know, folks listening and all that, like, this is what we are trying to act upon, not just talk about, which is what has been, you know, we hear these things all the time from whatever. So, not to drag on, you know, we have a lot to share, and, I don't know who wants to take it away, but, I gotta say that, you know, we've been trying to be reschooling and retooling up in Reading, and did a couple of videos with Chris. I've met him personally, as well as Brandon Spencer. And it's just been really encouraging. And just like being in this group, I've learned so much, and just, you know, little, not like tag teaming, but, you know, building off of each other's energies and experiences and information and advice, and how we can just, you know, keep leveling up within ourselves and keep building each other up and encouraging each other. It's great. And, meeting with Chris and him whooping my ass in chess, you know, I learned a lot, you know, so yeah. But he is quite the craftsman. So,
well, check this out.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for that introduction, Derek. I don't know who Romero Brito is, but he said art is too important not to share. And I think those of us that come to recognize what's going on around us, come to really recognize natural law. Natural law is a good way to explain it. It's a good way to put it. And those of us that have networked, like the six of us here, around this topic, around this understanding, there's a power in that. We can build on that power of understanding just like when scientists discover something and they work together on, okay, now that we've made this discovery, how can we take advantage of this principle we've discovered, right? How can we do something with it, right? And so what we're trying to do, always encourage people to get started, to get out there, to get vocal, to use this amazing tool we have to reach others, to help people recognize that what's going on is slavery on a mass scale. There's all forms of evil that are inundated our society, and that we're in the situation where a lot of people don't see that. They really just don't recognize it. They can't see through all the distractions in life. And so we're trying to find a way to shine a light on that. But if you just say it in everyday terms, most people don't seem to hear or see what we're talking about. It's not easy to relay. All through history, people have used art to describe the most difficult things. And how do you become an artist? How do you become a craftsman, a wordsmith? How do you become someone that can make a difference for the future, that can leave words behind that guide future generations and future people? Well, you have to practice. You're not going to get there by like a miracle, you know. I'm not saying there's not a such thing as miracles, but that's just not how stuff works. You got to practice things to get good at things. And so I guess my first little segment here tonight, what I wanted to share with people is something that I called spaghetti on the wall. And in terms of creativity, whether I'm creating a thumbnail or starting a new presentation or coming up with an idea for a podcast episode, I start with some spaghetti on the wall and throw out a few ideas, brainstorming, right? Some people might do this better on paper. Some people might do it better on some app, but you got to start somewhere, right? And actually getting to the finish line of producing something and publishing something so that other people can see it is a simple goal. Get some spaghetti on the wall, right? And what that means is the reason you throw spaghetti on the wall is to find out where it's at in the cooking process, to see if it's ready, right? And what happens is the spaghetti sticks when it starts getting close. And that means, you know, the spaghetti is not quite ready, but you know, right? And that's kind of what that means, is that in order to get good at anything, first you have to do the first version. You got to put something out there. You got to get something done to be able to realize what you can do better and what you can say better. And if you haven't started speaking out online or writing your words down or trying purposefully to explain what's going on around us, then the longer it's going to take for you to get there, and the longer it's going to take for humanity to quit killing itself, murdering itself, raping itself with all these forms of evil, like the government that everybody seems to think is fine and dandy to just steal from us all day long, you know, which is your energy and your time and your life being sucked out of you. We got to stop that dynamic. And the way we do that is through generating the spaghetti on the wall. We build on our artistic expression, and that's basically how we start to share with others the way to build freedom. You know, we got to get each other excited, and we got to get this word and this rhetoric out to other people so they can think about it and understand it and keep trying different methods. So take the initiative and get some spaghetti on the wall is my first bit of advice. How about you, Rick? What do you got to say on this topic of
I love it. I've been looking for
the craft, the art of the craft.
The art of the craft. It was awesome. And something I've been thinking about a lot, actually. And because I'm very creative. I always have been. That's just something I was born with. My mom said I've been creative and drawing and doing many things since she can remember. So that's kind of always come easy, the artistic side of it. The tech side of it is taking a little longer. I wasn't always tech savvy. I'm still not. I'm still learning, and I'm very still learning about the whole tech thing. You know, just 3 years ago, Derek was saying, you know, some of us have been doing it a lot longer than others. I've only been doing this for about 3 years. And still learning tech, definitely. That's an ongoing thing. But I've come a long way to having just a phone and a tablet that I never used that gathered dust in the corner to what I have now and what I'm doing now. So there is progress, definitely. And that's, I think, so important is moving forward and learning. So that's the part I like. And I always say that these engineers, these social engineers that we talk about, is what they attack is many things, but one of them is our creativity. And so I defend it viciously. Like, I mean, I think people need to become more creative. I always say anyone I talk to is good at something. They excel at something if you really think about it. And I always tell people, find what you're great at and try to incorporate into what the message you want to get out there. So whether it's dance, I've seen people do it through dance, seen people do it through art, music. There's so many different ways, doing a radio show, a podcast, whatever it is. There's so many creative ways, and I guarantee you're good at something that you could translate the message into. So that's the advice that I always give people. Find your passion and just find a way to incorporate what we talk about. I think that that's really cool. That's what I've done. And so I know you guys have done that. It works. And so just think about that for a minute of what you're really passionate about and how you can transition that. And because a lot of people take in the information that we talk about, at least I know a lot of people that do, but they never do the final step, which is the action step. They never pave it forward and put it back out there. I know so many people in my life that I talk to on pretty much on a daily basis that have this stuff down pat. They've really got a good grasp of it, but they won't do it. For some reason, they won't take action. They won't. They're scared to do something. They're scared to, you know, and they always say, I don't want to do a podcast. I don't want to go on radio. Fine. That's cool. I'm not saying that's for everybody. But there is something you could do. There's a way you can get the message out there, as I was saying. So everybody's good at something. That's my advice. Figure out what it is and, you know, take that action step. That's so important. And I think that one of the major things that is missing is the action step that people are doing. So I hope people think about that. And you were saying, Chris, too, that you have to practice. And I totally agree with whatever it is. I think of my music and I think of drumming. I have to practice every day. That's the only way I'm getting good. It's not given to me. I've earned it. And it's by practicing. And I always, for some reason, when I drum, it centers me and I think about things. And it, to me, it's amazing because we have a thing in drumming called rudiments. And what that is these are the, if you want to be a good drummer, you have to do your rudiments. Any drummer that's listening knows what I'm talking about. They suck. Well, you can make them fun, but it's just the basic things that you have to learn if you want to be an accomplished drummer in the long run. And that's the rudiments. And I think of that as the, if I translate that into what we're talking about, is building a strong foundation. I have to build a strong foundation for drumming. Well, you have to build a strong foundation for who you are and what you stand for and what your principles are and what your truth, you know, what truth is. You have to build that strong foundation. I talk about it all the time on the radio. And that's what I think about when I think about rudiments. I'm like, oh my God, that's like building a strong foundation. And that's where the work comes in. You have to do the work on yourself. I know we've covered that on this show many times talking about it, shadow work. You have to do that work on yourself, take in the correct information, process it, you know, and then when you feel comfortable, put it back out there, the trivium, right? And so I think about that. It just makes me think about that when I think about my music, that there is that foundation. And that's what people I think are lacking too, is that strong foundation. A lot of people, I just don't think they even know who they are anymore. They got so much going on and so much coming in, so much information that they're kind of lost. And so I think that's the work that needs to be done. It's just on yourself and then, you know, find your passion, what you're good about. I always tell people what you really truly do care about and focus your attention on is what you're going to manifest in your life. That's the key, at least for me. What I focus on and I put my real care behind, and it just manifests and things happen. And it's amazing when you see it in action. So, yeah. And then for my creativity, I've tried many things. I've tried, I'd like to try, like you said, Chris, you throw some spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. I think people need to do that way, way, way more. Try different things. I'm always trying different things. And if I fail at it, that's fine. I'm good with that. If I try it and I don't really like it, that's good. I've done that. I tried playing guitar. It wasn't my thing. Not really the thing I wanted to do. Tried playing, believe it or not, harmonica. I love it, but I don't really want to do it. Drumming was, but I kept trying different things. I didn't give up. Found out that drumming is what I really am passionate about and good at. So it was incredible. So I love that advice. Try different things. And I've tried doing a presentation. I did it for fun. I can't remember what fun. I think it was two. And I did a presentation on shadow work. It was a great experience. I loved it, but it's not really, presentations aren't my thing. I enjoy radio. So that's what I focus on. I love doing my radio show. I do two a week and I bring on an incredible guest that I learn from every guest. That's what I love about it. I like bringing people together and learning from them. And I talk about the things that I'm really comfortable with and I know a lot about. That's great. But I love bringing guests on that can educate me. I can learn from them. We can have a great discussion. So that's my thing. That's where I fit in. And Brandon and I talked about that. I think it was last week. You know, you got to find where you fit in. And that's where I fit in for me. It's my creativity is through radio. I love the interviews. I love bringing people together and having great chats. So that's where I'll end it. And maybe, Brandon, you want to take it from there since I kind of brought you up at the end there. But that's my thoughts. And I'll probably talk a little bit more throughout this.
When I heard of this topic, the art of the craft, I wanted to go a little bit deeper and not just, you know, talk about how I create, but get people to understand a deeper concept of art, because a lot of us just think, you know, it's something that's on a canvas. But if we go to the etymology of the word art, it just means to fit together. So to get a basis of what I am going to be talking about, I have to define a couple of words at their root etymology, because all of these words are going to be similar. So the first one would be the word art, craft, to prepare, to fit together, to combine, or to join together. And the word art is connected at this base root with the word arm, which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. But the word craft, because art and craft are just synonymous terms, you know, craft means power, skill, art, might. And then we have the word technology, which a lot of people don't associate the word technology with arts or a craft. But what is technology? It's just the art, skill, craft of making or doing things. Anything that we take from the mental plane and create into the physical plane is a piece of technology, not just a computer, not just a dumb phone or a laptop. A spoon, a fork, a cup, a bowl, a shoe is a piece of technology because someone had to have created it within their mind, and then they took it and created it into the physical realm as a piece of technology, as a piece of art, as a craft. So another word that is associated with art, craft, and technology is the word magic, you know. And let's demystify what that word means. Magic just simply means the art of influence. Of course, you know, you use willpower to influence, and of course it would be the higher will or the lower will. But how do you bring about art? Well, I said earlier that the word art was associated, or it actually comes from the word arm, you know. So what is the etymology of the word arm? To join, to fit together. So technically the word arm and art mean the same thing. And then we have the word hand, you know, which I talked about in my Freedom Under Natural Law 2 presentation. What does the word hand mean? It means power. It means control. It means possession. Because in ancient times, if you didn't have hands, then it wasn't associated with art. So all of these words are pretty much associated, you know, with tell each other. So now that we have a baseline of what I'm going to be talking about, and we have a common ground from the etymology of these words, I think people can understand, because I'm really going to be talking about three words: use, misuse, and abuse. And I'm going to be talking about each of these words from the standpoint of magic, because, you know, we've heard of these terms of magicians, magi, wizards, druids, witch doctors, shamans, sorcerers, authometers throughout, you know, throughout history. And you have these three practitioners. You had gray magic, white magic, and black magic. And I've always seen these as, you know, pretty much what the individual does with the knowledge that they have and how they choose to incorporate it when it comes to influence. Are they using this knowledge, this art, this craft to influence mankind in the service of truth, freedom, you know, pushing them toward the understanding of objective morality and natural law and trying to spread this occult knowledge? Or are they taking this knowledge, this craft, this technology, the power of the hands, and they're using it to influence others to do their own bidding, to spread chaos, to spread fear, to spread ignorance? So let's look at what the gray magic is associated with. And of course, I'm going to be comparing these with natural law, of course. So the gray magician are the individual who would be using gray magic. I would say this is where most of humanity is stuck, sadly. And this is where the so-called freedom movement is bound, because they are in the form of misuse. A lot of people may have certain aspects of their knowledge. They may have tiny fragments of the knowledge, but they misuse it. So let's look at what the word misuse means in the etymology. To use or treat improperly, improper use. So to misuse the knowledge or our craft ignorantly, you know, this is what the great magician would do. They're not necessarily good, but they're not necessarily bad. They're kind of, you know, how bouncing back and forth, kind of like you would see, you know, in the Masonic tracing board, you know, with the black and white checkerboard floor, you know, representing good and evil. Well, because your actions aren't necessarily good, you're still floating in between that good and evil, which technically still makes you immoral. Because the gray magician does not truly have a developed conscience. They do not definitively know the difference between right and wrong. That's why their actions are between good and evil on the checkerboard floor. So without this true definitive knowledge, you lack true conscience. You can have a conscience, which we all have a conscience, but to have true conscience means you actually choose, you use the free will choice to exercise or to elect the right over the wrong. Because the great magician kind of goes back and forth between how right and wrong. So without the true conscience, he or she will eventually abuse the craft. And that's sadly what we see with a lot of people is, what are they using the arts, the crafts, the technology, the hands for? They're using it for their own frivolous, egoic purposes, to pursue money, to pursue career, to pursue, you know, her relationships, to pursue, you know, sexual favors. They're not really using the arts, the craft, technology, their hands to properly, morally, you know, educate and spread the knowledge of truth, freedom, and natural law to end slavery. With the gray magician, some actions can be conscious and some actions can be unconscious. And again, we see this from a lot of people. You know, they're stuck in that duality. They're stuck in that cognitive dissonance. You know, hell, the gray magician will say, morality isn't black and white, it's gray. How many times have we heard that? You know, morality is absolute, it's subjective. Well, yeah, that's what the gray magician would say, because they're still stuck in that duality of good and evil when it comes to right and wrong behavior, because they don't have a truly developed conscience. And this is why having the knowledge and properly using it is key. So the gray magician was symbolic of the limbic system, and there's like, you know, no real world like evidence of this. I'm just using this as a symbolic, you know, representation, because, you know, when you come from the emotional reaction, it's not really based in knowledge. So yeah, sometimes your action can be good, but then sometimes your action can be bad too. So may not directly initiate violence, but it's not in the battle for true freedom, which makes them immoral. And I'm going to repeat that again, is the individual who would be involved in gray magic may not directly initiate violence, which still doesn't make them a good person, because they aren't actively engaged in ending the battle towards freedom. So hell, again, if you are still on that checkerboard floor of duality of good and evil, and you're bouncing back and forth, that still makes you immoral. The gray magician or the practitioner of gray magic would still be immoral. So the gray magician is misaligned with truth and morality because the source would be rooted in belief and ignorance. And how many people do we see today still stuck in belief, still stuck in forms of wrong thought, still stuck in schisms? Hell, again, because without the knowledge, you can never get to proper use. And the gray magician is still stuck in service to others and service towards self, which those are the two lowest forms of service. So I'm just trying to use a symbolic representation to kind of get people to understand, you know, these forms of art, you know, these crafts and how they've been around since before mankind, because nature is magical. Nature is a form of art. You know, mankind is art. Mankind is artistic because we are always creating. So it's going to come down to what tools do we have at our disposal to create, and what knowledge do we have? Do we have the correct knowledge and the correct grammar to actually consciously create? So I'm going to pass it on to Jerry, and later I will talk about, you know, dark magic. And of course, the highest form would be white magic. So pass on to Jerry.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Brandon, great job, man. All of you so far have killed it. And I want to give thanks to Derek for bringing this topic up, because as I was doing my research, I really became passionate about this. And I feel like this is the most important video I've been in so far, because this is really important, the art of the craft. So I'll start off by giving a quote by, I've heard Richard Grove say, he said, "Art is the greatest form of defiance. It always has been, always will be." And then Diesel Automatic, in his song Defiant, he said, "The best way to be defiant is to live life with purpose." So I'll just add, what better purpose? Like, our purpose is to create content on natural law and educate the population on objective morality. So, and Diesel also said, to live life to the fullest. Be united. They want us to be miserable. So what comes to mind is, recently today, I was in the pool with my mom, and she got upset because I wouldn't vote. Like, I'm not going to go vote here in Mexico. She was upset. She said, "Oh, so why do you have your voting card then?" And I'm just like, they're just programmed to be miserable. And I'm not falling for that. So don't fall for that as well. So, yeah, let's keep freedom alive. Now, my main point is for you to hear about my workflow, so you can be encouraged to do it yourself, perhaps improve it, make your own workflow. And I just can't thank you enough, Derek, because I just grew so much this month, learning all about, oh, I need a right microphone, because when you create content, audio is the most important thing. Like, forget about the video. If there's background noise or your microphone is just bad, people are going to tune out. So I really learned that. I learned about lights, having an office light to help, and a lot of other things. But I was really, really into this topic, and I'm just glad to be here. So I want to talk about what it takes to do this work, which is dedication, perseverance, which we already touched on. And, man, just doing the research, it's opened my eyes. It's really taught me how important knowledge is, not suffering from the Dunning-Kruger effect. because I feel like I had that. I'm like, oh, I know what the hell I'm doing. But like, the more I look into these topics, it's like, all right, I show up. So like, at least I'm doing that. But there's a long way to go for me. There's so much. Like, I'm turning from a gray magician to a white magician. And as Brandon was talking, I just imagined, like, I pictured someone like jumping on a trampoline, like they're just stuck in that gray magic. And it's like, in order to become a white magician, it's like you have to step off, like, to see clearly. And so I want to start with why. Why is this important? And then I'm going to talk about what is the art of the craft and then how to do it. So why is it important? Because it's the right. It's right. It's right action. Art challenges people's thoughts and beliefs. We need that more than ever. And creating art can help you express yourself, and it's therapeutic. You're on, Jim.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, all you guys. Yeah, so creation is really what we're after, what we're trying to get at here. For anyone who's not still stuck in that gray zone, you know, and you know, we're doing it right now. We're creating. We're making this video, and you know, we thought this into existence. And Chris, even, you know, a year and a half ago, whatever, thought this group into existence. You know, like, he created this opportunity for us to create more, you know, so we can put more of this kind of work out. And then Brandon, like, always does an incredible job following up, adding on to the editing of these videos. And we all make slides too, like, before the videos on the topic. So we're creating there. And that's something that I had never done before until I joined this group. I didn't know anything about creating slides. I didn't even have a good computer. I had some old computer that my cousin gave me that was like Linux, and I didn't even know what that was. But Brandon helped me find a good computer. And then I discovered Canva, which is really, you know, one of the biggest things is we do know is, as far as putting content out, it's got to be done on the internet. Like, we got to spread the word. There's so many ways to do it through art. Yeah, but using a computer is very important. So any idiot can figure out how to use Canva. I swear, like I don't know nothing about computers, but I have in the last year, but I've been impressed with what I've been able to create. And I do have like an artistic side to me. So that is helpful. But everyone, you know, everyone has a way. We're all creating. We're creating every day. So if you do understand that most of the majority of the world are moral relativists, if you know that, if you can grasp that, you have the knowledge, you understand that, we're creating this to inspire you to get out there and spread the message, like, in all different ways, like, of teaching morality, you know, and natural law. Like, keep learning and putting it back out there. So, yeah, I'm going to hand it back off to Derek and speak on some more of art I've created in my life later on.
Cheers, Jim. And yeah, I feel you. And roll on with your sentiments in the beginning of, yeah, and that's word up to Maria West, you know, that Love, Truth, and Beauty, where she speaks a lot about, you know, we're trying to move the or shape the formless into form, if you will, that manifestation through, you know, through the, you know, first gate of mentalism through into the, you know, the physical plane of action. And how we go about that and, you know, get from our train of thought to that place, that can be an artistic way of going about that as well. And, you know, for me, it's just like, how do you value your life? How do you love yourself? How do you communicate with yourself? That inner dialogue, just the whole thing. How does that, you know, correspondence, right, go from within to the outer? And how, you know, like we talk about shadow work and all that stuff, you know, like projections and all this stuff, right? Like introspections, little, you know, personal corrections, crossing intersections with, you know, all this, you know, collective conscious unconsciousness that, you know, we're all involved in every single fucking day. So how are we just able to, you know, just like, do you have a spiritual fucking pep in your step? Are you able to, you know, like talk to someone, have an argument and still laugh it off and like be like, okay, that's great. It's a fucking learning experience. Like everything is, whether it's good or bad, you just have to fucking roll with the punches and, you know, like at the same time, hold your own, stick with the, you know, eternal principles of, yeah, take no fucking shit, but also cause no harm. Do not violate other people's personal fucking rights. It's really not that fucking hard. And the more you can just find ways to, I don't know, like get under people's skin in a comfortable way for them. I feel like, you know, you think about the George Carlins and things like that, that, you know, like you have to kind of have a thick skin for those people. Yet he's like a universal voice for so many people. Like even my mother loved him. And yet, you know, her and I had arguments and this and that, but you know, like, that was like a common thread we can like laugh about and this kind of stuff. And like he was, you know, speaking some pretty hardcore truth, especially like since what, the fucking 80s? You know, this man is fucking hardcore. And who do we look up to in the truth community, you know, outside of, you know, the alternative media, right? We have like the Bill Hickses and the George Carlins, even a little Dave Chappelle, and whoever the hell, and we have those inspirations to lean off of and not bite their style, but you know, like you have that and you kind of incorporate it with what you've learned and just your own personality and whatever influences that have, you know, accumulated throughout your life. Like, how are you exemplifying that? How are you paying homage to that? And like, people that claim to be staying on the shoulders of giants, like, what the fuck are you doing up there, actually? Like, how are you putting out that work? And how are you trying to, you know, hold them large and this and that? Not just, you know, like, lip service their fucking name or their works and this and that. Like, we don't need fucking echo chambers. We need to, you know, like, have the universal law spill the fuck over throughout the whole entire, you know, globe. Oh, what a five-letter word. Triggers. And hey, like, there's a good amount of people that just don't even know how to, like, illustrate certain things. Like, these days we rely on memes and all these things, and people are lazy as fuck. And so, like, and this is also why I wanted to bring up this topic, because, you know, we're coming into the age of this motherfucking, we're already in the fake it to make it era since, you know, a decade or three ago, and it's just been getting increasingly worse, because, you know, with the rise of technology, there's more means of people to, you know, like, you know, fake it to fucking make it, you know, like, and with AI these days, you know, people can pump out, you know, media just like that. And, you know, folks trying to like be the true media and all this stuff, where are we at exactly when there's already fucking stagnant waters and this and that? Like, how hard is it really just to, you know, even grab your phone, or you got, you know, one of those little GoPros or whatever the fuck, you have some notes, you do some stuff, even like you listen to some music, you fucking listen to a podcast, you watch a documentary before that, you take some notes even, or you have some mental things, and you fucking, you know, like talk into a camera for like 5 fucking minutes and there you go. You make some edits, you can throw in a couple of this and that, like throw some kind of sauce on the mix, not some mundane cookie cutter shit, and be genuine, authentic. Don't be a fucking style biter necessarily. We have so many things to be inspired by and kind of like, yeah, like kind of like, okay, that's a cool technique. You know, that's another thing, you know, like, yeah, listen, I'm not saying like people have copyrighted, you know, certain ways of doing things, but, yeah, just in the era of faking it to make it. Yeah, we're up against a lot of stiff competition and folks are, you know, hogging the algorithms because they have their monetized motherfucking bullshit at the same time backing their stuff. And so, yeah, it just sucks. And it's like another thing that drains on that independent artistry where we have to continually go through that alchemical process because, you know, it is that harder, you know, that shorter, narrow path and all this stuff. We don't have all these, you know, endorsements and we don't have these fucking, you know, we're not on YouTube being sponsored by whoever the fuck and like, oh, we got to cut in because, you know, a NordVPN is going to, you know, save you 10% if you do this fucking like what? Fuck off, man. What the hell? Like, do you hear any of us like, you know, get distracted from any of this motherfucking bullshit? No, we're just like trying to be like that all killer, no filler. And with the killer, you know, obviously, I mean, like just like that killer consciousness and killing the ignorance and all that stuff. But I could go on and not to ramble on. Chris, I know you're going to be holding.
Overwhelmed with distractions. That's what the world is, right? Like everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, there's flashing lights. There's blinky lights, there's little buzz going off in your pocket, there's bing, 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 shit going on everywhere. It's hell of a distraction world we live in. But here's another quote by Leon Trotsky. Art, it is said, is not a mirror, but a hammer. It does not reflect, it shapes. Art is our opportunity to express. It really is the heart of what freedom is our ability to choose. To express ourselves is our artistic opportunity. And you were talking about comedian George Carlin. Guy's hilarious. Love him. But I had in my mind a sort of allegorical example, and it's a joke I heard a comedian tell. And really not that funny, but the way he told it, I have to admit it was funny. And the story is he watched this guy get hit by a car. And it happened so quick, all he was able to say was, you know, and he tries to tell the story like what I wanted to say was, sir, you're about to be struck by a vehicle. Get out of the road. Right. But all I had a chance to say was, and, you know, it's the truth in life. Like if you're not ready, if you don't see a thing coming, you don't have a chance to communicate clearly. Right. And that's the allegory of our life. Do you want to see that car just go by and run over your grandchildren and their grandchildren and their grandchildren? That's the car representing the evil in our world that we're coming to recognize as being the case, right? Or do you want to be able, someone who could communicate clearly and step out, you know, and save people's lives before they get run over of this car, you know? So we have this opportunity. We have our voices. And then we have these amazing amplifiers, right? We have technology that's never existed before in all of humankind where we can speak to thousands, maybe millions of people. But our ability to do so is always hampered by our ignorance. If we don't understand the technology to do so, it's like being in a war and not knowing how to shoot a weapon or drive a tank or fly a plane. You know, you're going to be getting mowed down by the people that know how to use those things and have those types of technology. You know, you're over here sharpening your knife. In 2024, you know, there's going to be drones coming down. You know, it's like you got to, there is a point at which we have to keep up with technology, like it or not, of the day. You know, in the time of the printing press, all of a sudden humans had the ability to send out their message on pieces of paper all over the place. So if you were there and you wanted to convince people of your particular agenda, you want to be the first person, you know, with one of those printing presses. And all through time, we've had situations where authoritarians and some of the worst elements of society have been ruling over these kind of resources. And right now there's an opportunity to somewhat even the playing field. This is that time where we see the car coming, we see the thing in the road, the person in the road who represents our grandchildren, we have the opportunity to communicate. So we want to be able to communicate clearly. And the craft is, how do we get good at doing that, right? I mean, I've been a craftsman all my life with carpentry. I've seen all different types of carpentry throughout my years. I can walk into a hotel and start talking about the framing. I can see from a distance when a wall's out of plumb, you know, and I can, you know that from time and experience, from swinging a hammer, right? I don't hit my finger anymore, you know, I can hit the nail. Like, but that doesn't happen if you don't get out in the field and start doing those things. So in the same way that you can learn any trade, there's a lot to this trade of speaking on the internet, writing a book, creating a podcast. You know, on the one hand, like I'm saying, throw the spaghetti on the wall, get started, because the sooner you do that, the sooner you can start learning these things. But it is indeed a trade and a craft. And I show a little tour of my desk video that we'll share with this video where, you know, you can see, like, I've built up quite a little battle station here. And I can think back to when I started with a little laptop that wasn't nearly powered enough to do what I was trying to do. I didn't even really have an understanding of what kind of RAM I needed, much less what RAM was back then. I came from being a carpenter with a flip phone in my pocket. And the whole reason I got a flip phone was because one of these smarty phones pissed me off because it, you know, some weird stuff changed because I would be crouching down all day and it would bend a little bit and weird stuff would happen, you know, and it wouldn't even act properly as a phone. So I was like, what's the point of having a phone that doesn't do what a phone's supposed to do? So I went and got a flip phone. I was resistant to technology and I saw it as evil for many years. But when I came to the recognition that I wanted to amplify my voice to the public and I wanted to teach other people what I've come to recognize, that morality is the most important thing that we all need to be talking about and observing and understanding, getting in alignment with. To do that was really hard at first. I hit a lot of brick walls. I wasn't able to reach many people. And so I had to learn about all these things, how to make better graphics, how to get better audio, how to get a computer that has enough power to stream to multiple channels and not wreck my audio in the process. What do you do with your recordings? How many recordings can you save on your computer? Oh, you need extra backup devices. You know, all these things are things I had to learn one by one, most of them the hard freaking way, you know? But you don't have to learn the hard way the way I did. There's plenty of resources available, people like us that are out there teaching these things. And like I pointed out when I talked to Fred earlier this week on Libercast, and thank you to Fred for doing that show, by the way. Check out Libercast, folks, if you haven't. I was saying, you know, we both got started in Mark's class, How to Become the True Media, where he really takes you step by step through every little facet of how to do these things. There's one resource, you know. Jerry and I went through Autonomy and we're graduates from there. We learned a lot there and we continue to learn a lot from the resource that exists there. And there's many more. And one of the things you can do is find someone that you like how they podcast, you like how they express themselves. Reach out to them, help them out, you know, learn how to do what they do. And the best way to do that is by giving them something you have for free, right? Your help, your time. That's what your energy is. Your life is about to get smashed in front of you. It's going to disappear. This is your opportunity to do something with it that matters on this realm of existence. And trust me, everything we do matters in this existence. If you look deep in your soul and ask yourself that question, I'll let you decide. But I'm positive that what we do matters here and that we're here for a reason. And so it's on you to decide to do what with that moment? You're going to let the car smash into the living future of humanity, or are you going to step up to the plate and take a swing at it, throw some spaghetti on the wall and learn a craft, learn a trade and start getting good at it? But I'm pumped. That's your cue, Rick.
That's my key. All right. And it's a good drum beat that you did too. There you go. There you go. But it's so true. That's why I love this group. I keep saying that, because we hit things from all different angles and it's so powerful to me. It's why I love doing round tables on radio, because I see so many different viewpoints and I learn. This is how I love to learn and understand things. So you guys are just killing and doing a great job. And I've always told you, Chris, you gave me advice a long time ago. I was telling you I'm very uncomfortable doing interviews when somebody interviews me. And I can interview anybody and I'm comfortable with it. But when the cameras turn around and I'm being the one interviewed, that was so uncomfortable for me. And the best advice you gave me is you have to keep doing it. And then that is so important. And that's always stuck with me, and not just interviews, but in anything, a lot of things in my life. If this is something you're uncomfortable with or you find difficult, keep doing it. It's going to get easier. And it's been great advice, Chris. I want to thank you, because I'm serious. I think about that often. And it's something little, so you never know what little bit of information somebody's going to give you or advice that's going to really impact you. And that was one of them, is that, okay, this is uncomfortable, but I have to do it more. And I think a lot of people are in that state where they're uncomfortable, they're scared, they're nervous. And the only way you're going to get over it is if you confront it. It's like your shadow work. So I wanted to thank you for that, Chris. And kind of going to comment on what everybody was saying a little bit. And I agree with what Jim was saying, that we're always creating. That's really true. We're always creating at all times. And I just hope people want to, maybe will take the time to think, what are you putting out there? Are you creating good things, or are you creating destructive and evil things? That's something that people should really think about. I think that's so key, because that we are always creating, and that's really interesting. Something I like to think about a lot. And Derek was bringing up, it's important how you talk to yourself, like how to the chatter to yourself. And I've always said nobody could be more brutal on themselves than I've been over the years. I could tear myself apart better than anybody, and have. And that's the work that was a lot of the work I had to do. What was to fix that, because I don't think people realize how destructive their own thoughts are and how they destroy, like how they attack themselves. And that's really important. So, that's just, you guys make such great great points. And I'm trying to just, I got a couple notes I'm just looking at, because I was trying to keep up with everything. You guys were saying such cool things and things that I'm going to be thinking about, but you do have to, I keep saying that we keep saying that I think the action part is the part that is really lacking in a lot of people. And, I think people get confused that if they're doing they throw the odd meme out, or they share a video, that somebody else did, or they get into a chat room and start hitting the chat rooms constantly, that's doing their part. And I see that a lot. And I'm just like, that's not what we're talking about. And I think a lot of people think that. I'm being honest. Let's throw a meme up or whatever, and we'll get in the chat room and we're going to tell everybody what's going on, and then they're doing the work. That's not the great work. To me, I'm not a big fan of chat rooms, guys. I don't like to sit there and debate and chat and all of that. I just don't. It's not my thing. But I think that's a lot of people get stuck in that. So, yeah, that's what I think about chat rooms, apparently. And I just love what you were saying too, Brandon, about I'm looking forward to what you're going to be saying about the other wizards, man, because Gray Wizard, I think you make such a great point. How many people are operating daily in that gray wizard state and think what they're think that they're doing amazing things, but in fact what they're really doing is pretty much, in a lot of cases, is either taking away somebody's rights, they're attacking their freedoms and taking away their freedoms, there's some type of theft towards them, but they don't even realize they're doing it because they think they're in a good place. And you make a great point. So I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of what Brandon has to say, because I think it was really well said, Brandon. So I love that. And just to wrap up, I agree with Jerry too, that equipment is so key to do what we're doing. You need good equipment, guys. I learned that the hard way. I think a lot of people do. You can't do it on cheap equipment or a phone or not effectively. So you're going to need to get good equipment, good mics, cameras, all the things that go into this lighting. You know, there's going to be some cost, and there's going to, you have to get your skill game up. You're going to have to learn. And the one great, you know, the True Media course by Mark Passio, I took it. I think most of us have, or if not all of us, and I learned a lot there. So there's work to be, you have to do on yourself, on your abilities. And I'm going to end it at that, or I'm just going to keep talking. So Brandon, I'll pass it to you.
Thank you for that. And for anyone who wants to get better at their particular craft, Mark Passio's How to Become the True Media class is open. So I haven't taken the class, but I know a lot of people here have, and everyone who I've talked to who've taken it have, you know, said it was a great, amazing experience, and the knowledge that was learned, you know, was so valuable. And even if you don't take his class, there are plenty of tutorial free videos online for an individual to learn about, you know, how to create their craft. And the funny thing is, when you're talking about the word craft, you're like, it's always associated with the mind. I mean, just think about it. When you think of an aircraft, I mean, like, the air was always associated with what? The air element, you know, meaning to travel, to have to communicate. You got sea crafts, you know, well, what was that? You know, hell associated with, you know, how water wasn't just associated with the hell emotions, but associated with the unconscious, you know, hell symbolism here. And then we got land crafts, you know, so hell again, we're talking about travel, you know, we're talking about the mercury element, you know, hell communication, you know, how the mind, hell the intellect, thinking. And then when you just look at the verb, you know, hell, what does it mean to craft something, you know, to create, to build, to mold? Well, can you craft someone's mind? Yes, that's what the dark magician would do, or what, you know, someone who would use dark magic. So dark magic was associated with abuse. So let's look up what the etymology of the word abuse means. A using up, to consume, to misapply, or to deceive. And Jay Parker did a show last week with Mark Passio, and he talked about the artificer, and it was brilliant. So if anyone hasn't heard that radio show, I highly recommend it. I will try to put it in the link when I post this video. But someone who would be engaged in dark magic is using the knowledge, the art, and the craft to abuse. The abuse of knowledge, the abuse of the arts, the abuse of the craft. And yes, you can abuse knowledge. You 100% absolutely can abuse knowledge. You know, these will be the ones who want to hoard. These will be the ones, you know, who want to keep it for a selected few, you know, keep it for their particular group, you know. And the, another means of dark magic is the use of technology as a means to spread propaganda, mind control, and the mind viruses of solipsism, of moral relativism, of statism. These are forms of dark magic because you are abusing the technology. You know, you are misapplying it. You are using this technology to deceive people, you know, spreading all these forms of wrong thought, you know, using the influence to get others to bring about your desired goal. And usually you would use the idiot of the gray magician, because again, the gray magician doesn't know the difference between right and wrong because they don't have a truly developed conscience. So the gray magician can be easily led astray to do the wrong actions by the higher knowledge of the dark magician, because the dark magician actually can know the difference between right and wrong, but they choose to do the wrong over the right. You know, so the desired goal of the dark magician is rooted in wrong behavior. It is inherently rooted in wrong behavior, meaning it's inherently rooted in the seven transgressions against, you know, natural law. You know, they have no problem with using coercion. They have no problem, you know, with using violence, but they'll get their useful idiots to do it for them, you know. And that's why we see that the dark magician is well versed in what? In rhetoric, skillful in, you know, in the languages, you know, skillful in grammar, you know, the Sorcerer's Handbook, the Grimoire, you know, which was the Sorcerer's Spellbook. Because if you're not familiar where the word how grammar comes from, it comes from, you know, how Grimoire, you know, which was a magic spellbook. So dark magic or the dark magician or, you know, the dark wizard, you know, whatever you want to call it. Again, I'm just using symbolism to describe a concept. You know, this was symbolic of the R complex, you know, stuck into that fear-like mindset, you know, stuck in wanting to hoard the knowledge, stuck in wanting to control, using this knowledge to control others, using this knowledge to enslave others. You know, this is the perverter. This is the deceiver. This is the trickster. This is the cheater. This is the defrauder and the swindler, because they're willing to sacrifice others at the expense of reaching their goal. And one who is engaged in dark magic may actually be aligned with the truth, but they will be misaligned with objective morality. So, and again, they can know the difference between right and wrong, but they choose to do the wrong over the right. And then again, their source is rooted in fear. The dark magician's power is rooted in fear, you know, because fear is all has always been a tool of those who want to control, you know. And then the dark magician is in service to the self, service to the ego, you know, so really service to the self. This would be the satanic mindset, you know, or the psychopath, you know, mindset. So then the opposite of that would be the highest form, which would be the white wizard or the white magician or white magic, because they use the knowledge as it's properly, or the art or the craft. They use it properly. They're using it for the means to help spread the knowledge of truth, to help raise consciousness. So let's look at what the word use means in its etymological understanding. To employ for a proper purpose. So ask yourself, what is the role of knowledge? What is the role of knowledge? Is it to educate others, or is it to hoard for yourself? Is knowledge there for a particular group to maintain control over it, or is knowledge there for everyone to learn from, to educate themselves, so they can have a better understanding of themselves, so they can have a better understanding of reality, so they can have a, you know, a better understanding of how to build? Because without knowledge, where would we be? Would we not always be in a state of ignorance? Would we not always be in a state of darkness? Without knowledge, how can we communicate? Without knowledge, how can we build with other people? You wouldn't be able to, because without knowledge, you would just be nothing. You would be nothing. So white magic is the proper use of knowledge, the arts, or the craft, or technology. Technology. Because again, remember, arts, craft, and technology all mean the same thing. They all mean the same thing. So in today's day and age, you could say that the white magician would use the technology to help educate others, to help inspire, you know, others and give them something to aspire to help use the technology to spread the truth, the knowledge of objective morality, the knowledge of freedom, and to get people to understand, you know, hey, we're all enslaved, and we need to come to an understanding of the requirements in order for ourselves to get out of this and raise our consciousness, so we can elevate our consciousness, then therefore we can end slavery, not just for ourselves, but for all beings. You know, the white magician makes a conscious free will decision. It is not unconscious. It is a conscious, willful decision to choose the right action over the wrong action. So you can say that the white wizard, or, you know, the white magician, tell again, these are just words to describe a concept. The white magician has a true developed conscience, meaning they have the definitive knowledge. They have the definitive knowledge of right and wrong, and they choose with the willful choice to do the right over the wrong, even if it means death. Even if it means death. Because they have a care for the truth and morality. You know, so the white magician used the technology as a means to inspire others, as a means to be a teacher. Because if you look at what the etymology of the word teacher, it doesn't just mean, you know, to bring about a subject and instill it in someone else's mind. No, it has to do with morality. Being a teacher had to do with you were installing moral concepts within someone else's mind, you know. So the white magician is symbolic, or white magic is symbolic of the neocortex, because you're talking about higher level forms of thought. You're talking about higher level forms of cognition. You're talking about an integration of the masculine and the feminine within their own psyche. You're talking about an integration of both hemispheres within the brain. It's not about balance within the brain. It's about integration. Two different things. If you look at what the etymology of balance means, it does not mean the same as it means for integration. For there to be truly integration, that means parts are working, you know, held as a whole. That's what we need, is we need integration. We don't need balance. We need integration, because you're never going to get to the state of, well, you know, I'm going to have 50% masculine and 50% feminine. No, that's not how it works. You need integration. They need to be integrated. So the white magician is versed in the trivium, not just versed in rhetoric, or not just versed in grammar, versed in the whole aspect of the trivium, because they know how to discern truth from falsehood, because they have the knowledge. They have the light. You know, they have the clarity. They can see. They have the vision, because, yeah, they're able to see in darkness, because they can take in the grammar. You know, they can understand the symbols. They can understand the language and break those concepts down to get a better understanding in the why. They understand the logic. They're able to weed out all forms of contradiction, you know, because that's what the logic aspect is to really read out all forms of contradiction. Because if you have contradiction, you have duality. When you have duality, you know, you're stuck in a schism, you're stuck in confusion. So when you have that logic, then you can get to that last step of the grammar, which will come in the form of being an educator. Well, what is an educator? To lift up, to draw out the potential, to draw out the creativity. You know, the white magician is a teacher and a student, because they are always teaching and they're always learning from those, you know, who they are teaching. And they are learning more hell about reality. They're learning more hell about themselves. They're learning more about others. They're learning more hell about, you know, hell nature. The white magician is willing to make the proper, correct sacrifice, not sacrificing others, but making those sacrifices when it comes to time, you know, dedication, you know, willpower, you know, care, because in order to get to this aspect of, you know, the true white magician does take time. It does take, you know, requirements. So if you're not willing to give those, you know, sacrifices up, you'll never, ever get to that end game goal. And that's the problem, is people aren't willing to make those sacrifices, which is why they are still stuck in that, oh, morality is gray, you know, oh, it's not black and white, man. No, fuck you. The white magician knows what the true sacrifices are, and it's going to take time and attention in order for us to get to the end game goal. So the source is rooted in care for truth and morality, because truth should be the highest thing that we aspire to, truth and morality, because they are one and the same. We can never get to freedom if we don't have an understanding of truth and morality. And if you understand the law of freedom, then you understand how all of those words are interconnected. Truth, morality, and freedom. And then, of course, you have the highest form of service, not service to self. It ain't about even service to others, because service to others is just a form of collectivism. Service to truth. The white magician is in service to truth, because truth is morality. Truth is freedom. Truth is natural law. Truth is the higher will. That's where the white magician gets their true power from. You know, so the service to truth. Because the truth is infinite. It will always be here. So if you have the highest form of source energy, then you have that infinite, you know, that inner form of energy that will just radiate, and it will be infinite. So service the truth. That's where we have to get to, is we have to serve the truth. That is who we serve. That is who, you know, how the white magician, you know, would serve. So I'll pass it on to Jerry.
Holy moly, man. That was amazing. Ooh, you guys have all been killing it. Like, wow, that was very encouraging. And I'm excited to go on my second part now. But just to, like, go on what you said, Brandon, I was thinking, like, I think of, like, energies. Like, we have this positive energy and the negative, and how, like, the white magician is against the gray and the dark magicians because they're not in service of truth, and the dark magicians are against the gray and the white magicians because they just want chaos. So it's like, it's time to align ourselves to white magicians, folks. It's in you. You know, I picture like someone who has been possessed and then like they gain, like, I don't know. I'll take you, for example, Brandon. You're like encouraging them. You're giving them knowledge and like they kind of wake up, but they're still possessed and it's up to them to like kick that fucking demon out. And that's like the transition from a gray magician to a white one. So that's what came to mind. All right, now I wrote down some definitions of art and craft, so I might as well share them for consideration. So dictionary.cambridge.org says art means a skill or special ability. So example, the art of the craft. And they have many definitions, but I'm just going to give one. Merriam-Webster.com says, skill acquired by experience, study, or observation. The conscious use of skill and creative imagination, especially in the production of aesthetic objects. And here's what the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy had to say about the definition of art. The definition of art is controversial in contemporary philosophy. Whether art can be defined has also been a matter of controversy. The philosophical usefulness of a definition of art also has been debated. But I think, Brandon, you laid that to rest. And now I have one definition for craft by the Dictionary of .cambridge.org. Skill and experience, especially in relation to making objects, a job or activity that needs skill and experience, or something produced using skill and experience. Now, I'll touch on really quick from my research what the difference between art and craft is. I found that craft is more like, I don't know, collectivism. Like, people used to make like these items for the king. I don't know, I think of a chalice, just an example. And how art is more individualized, so like a painting. But again, Brandon really covered that. So I'm going to cover what's required of this. I'm going to say communication is required, communication skills. So like Chris said, throw spaghetti at the wall. And like Rick said, the advice he received from Chris, he's, you know, perhaps not confident in being interviewed, but the more you practice, the better you get at it. And I'm still practicing myself with my listening skills because my, you know, how Mark says the fucking the duck quack, like that shit's real. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, listen to what's being said so you don't have to listen to it again. And, like, really be in the moment, pay attention, and then once it's your time to speak, then you can speak. Networking is super important. Like, I recommend you guys join a mastermind because that's how I got here, you know, by networking in autonomy. I met Chris, and, you know, the stars aligned. So, marketing, I think that's what the great work is, really. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to be making videos. But for me, I have no excuse to not do that because I'm not disabled. I don't have, you know, I'm not retarded, like mentally. So I'm able to do this. And The reason why is because this is how we reach the most amount of people, like gray magicians, that want to be white magicians. So that's a skill required. Research, graphic design, technological skills, like you said, Brandon. And I didn't even know that, like, art is the same thing. Holy shit. Let's see. And I'm going to just touch on how, if you're doing this work, I recommend getting a wrist protector, something like this. You know, you don't want to get the carpal tunnel. You know, you want to use a mouse. You don't want to be, you know, using the keypad that the laptop gives you if you're using a laptop. So please get a mouse. And then get a good chair so you don't get back pain. This one is, you know, it's up to you. But I plan on getting a plant just because it's like it brings life to the room. And then sticky notes. This is something Richard recommends. He says you get an idea, jot it down on a sticky note. There you go. So I don't have to say any more. let's see. And I'm just going to touch on when can you do this work? So I say when you're bored, creativity will emerge. When I'm walking, I get thoughts all the time, and I just write them down. And your free time. So, you know, I've been doing sales and autonomy, and I understood how autonomy says just sacrifice. And this is like to Brandon's point, how the white magician will sacrifice time to do this. So sacrifice the time to be a white magician. And let's see, where can we do this? I say in a clean room. If your room is all disorganized, you're not going to be as creative. All right, I'll pass it to you, Jim.
Thanks, Jerry. Yeah, so I thought I'd share kind of a my journey in the last like 6 or 7 years when it comes to creation and art and like where it's led me. So yeah, back in 2017, I kind of followed my heart and decided to try to turn people's properties and front yards into like farms, which is like crazy to the public, right? And I found out fast, and I knew that was going to be kind of the, you know, how it would go over, but I was going to just try to do it anyway. So I learned, you know, that was definitely part of the journey, is I learned like the consciousness of humanity of where I live, Long Island, New York, one of the most stressful places, like probably in America, the suburbs of New York City. And so the consciousness just isn't ready to have local food like available in, you know, their neighborhood. They'd rather eat strawberry Starburst than pick a fresh strawberry, you know. So, but I did that, and as I was doing it, I kind of like thought, I want to see what this looks like from the sky. My friend had a drone, and in the beginning it was just straight lines, like more based regular agriculture, even though I was coming from more of a permaculture background. But that was another thing. I didn't think people were ready for permaculture. So I was like, I'm just going to try to make it look like a farm. So I still thought it looked cool from the sky like that. But then as I started to progress, I was like, well, all right, I can get more creative and artistic with this. And the woman that I was using her front yard, she was open to anything. So I ended up like turning it into more of this artistic, like permaculture, like is also like was I was drawn to with permaculture is this artistic aspect. Like you'll see stuff about mandala gardens and things like that, and how in nature there's no like there's no squares. Like, and if you, I've been on many airplanes, and one of the first things you see when you get up there is you start to see the agriculture of the the area that you just didn't even realize was all down there, and you see all these squares, and it's just not natural. It always looked wrong to me. So in my mind, I'm like, imagine if like farms could look more artistic, or like the neighborhoods look like a patchwork quilt of like these designs, you know, from like Google Earth and shit, you know. But so that was just me being me. But so I did that, and that was pretty much an epic fail. People thought I was nuts, but I got enough attention where I ended up getting asked to use some land, and which was free, which is awesome. And I carried out doing the same kind of thing, creating art, you know, and wanting to see what it would look like from the sky. Definitely permaculture based this time. And you could also see I'm surrounded by all regular conventional agriculture. So it really stands out against that, the contrast there. But all that's kind of grown in now, and you don't see like that art from the sky, but I am expanding and doing more of that kind of stuff too. But now it's become more of like creation on the ground level of I'm carving out, like now it's really becoming like a food forest. And like, yeah, I'm just amazed. Like I'm always being able to create like new areas. Like I built stuff with pyramids and like meditation areas, places for people to meditate and eat and stuff like that. But last year I started teaching, like, because I started putting out to the homeschool community, because those kids, you know, they're not fully programmed, like, and so we get a better chance at teaching morality with them. And couple moms like liked what I had to say, and they brought their kids over, and just three kids starting out. But on the farm stand, I wrote Care for Truth, and that's there. That's just there for anyone to see. Like even today, like we had new members come to the farm for our CSA, and I don't even know if they see it, but it's right above their head. Care for Truth. Maybe they'll notice it next time. And so I had with the kids, I did this little play on words too, where, cause there's this plant called comfrey, which is really good to plant around fruit trees and that. It's got lots of benefits, many uses. And so that's also part of the teaching, but I had the kids as like one of their like homework to go home and make a sign that said, be comfrey. Which is like, if you like read it, it's like become free, right? So that was just a little play on words. And like this year I was thinking, you know, what I'm going to do, cause they want to come back, is I'm going to create some more signs, like one about the golden rule, one like you reap what you sow. You know, what is a right? And so they'll be displayed around the garden, and like they explore, and I could just, you know, teach a lesson to them. You know, each day would be a different class on those kind of subjects. So there's just an example of like what happens with my life. I just kept creating and learning. Like when I started, I was in the gray zone for sure, but, as I, you know, as part of the journey, I started to learn about objective morality and natural law, and, you know, also working with nature so much. And so that was, I'm just sharing that, like, by following my heart and creating and tying it all together, and now it's become a place for teaching morality. So yeah, there's just so many ways if people just follow their heart and can figure out how to get this knowledge out there. If you know it, get it out. That's the whole point. Like, you can't keep it. It's like, that's immoral to not put it out, to not create and put the knowledge out there is, that's wrong. You're not in right action. So that's my little, story on creation and the art that I got to create. So we'll pass it back to Derek.
Cheers. Right on. And I suppose, this is the third time's a charm for everyone to just spit their last little bits and pieces, and all this stuff. Yeah. Like, life is a jigsaw puzzle. How many pieces are you holding and how many keys are you able to wield to, unlock the, locks that are holding us back from, true fucking freedom and living sovereign lifestyles, especially, just within yourself. You got to unlock those inner chambers. And, I feel like there's a lot of therapy. Jerry, I think you mentioned that earlier how many artists just with music in general have you seen or heard just through their music or their biographies, their stories, whatever, of how like they created a lot of music based off of their like suffering and stuff. And like the music, that art form was an outlet of a sort of therapy when there was no other type of thing for them, and they were able to just do that and sustain some self-resilience and self-empowerment through that healing, maybe even some shadow work and all that. And it's still in the side effect is so beneficial for so many other ears that, were blessed by those sounds, if you will. And I'm thinking about, back in like the blues days of just like jazz, no lyrics, that kind of stuff. And that was another time. And, it's interesting because, there's how many artists of that era before and after were highly addicted to drugs, but regardless, they had such crazy will force or whatever they tapped into, that magic within themselves, it just manifested some really incredible, timeless material art. And through that craft, so many people have been inspired to, do more and, expand from that. And you know what I mean? So that's a beautiful positive feedback loop, if you will. And Jim, I wanted to say real quick, and I love, we got to reach the youth in so many different ways. And especially, what I mentioned before with, the uptick of social media, TikTok and AI and all this crap and video games. I mean, how many people are addicted to fucking Minecraft when we should be teaching them the mind craft, right? Like, what are they crafting within their mind to really have that proper cultivation within their eye magi nation using that art of persuasion to better formulate their articulation? And yeah, that's just part of my formulation of communicating conversation and all that shit in whatever kind of situation. And it depends on who you're faced in, whatever kind of situation and all this stuff. So, that's just me exemplifying how the fuck I go about my life. And I'm not trying to be some kind of poser. This is just how I fucking talk and act and whatever the hell. It's just my liberté and that kind of stuff. And I have a lot of hip hop influences, obviously, if you didn't recognize that. And, one of the influences of this title of why I chose this topic, there's like a makeshift crew called Shape of Broad Minds. And this is like early 2000s. I was, still widely unawake, but, into the counterculture, fuck the system type of shit. And just like having that mind expansive type of music. And the album was called The Craft of the Lost Art. And just, you know, thinking about all these artists that, you know, go off on all this abstract stuff, like, where do they come up with these things? And that I love the low tech introspect of, you know, how much these people produced, how much magic they manifested from so little, especially in the fucking early 90s, like prepubescent, like internet, YouTube days and all this stuff. And what do we have here? A dime a dozen fucking YouTube bitches. You know, like, oh, subscribe, and because I need to, you know, I'm trying to reach my goal of 10,000 subscribers. What's the fucking goal? What's the goal? What are they trying to do when they reach that goal? Are they just trying to, you know, get some kind of endorsement type of shit and get their YouTube clout? What the fuck are they actually doing with their, you know, 1,000 whatever subscribers that they have? Where the fuck are they leading these people? Yeah, they're the gray magicians. They don't even know where the fuck they're leading their own fucking lives. Because they haven't done any kind of self-initiation into, you know, exploring the unseen realms within themselves, first and fucking foremost. But, you know, to each their fucking own. You know, I'm not trying to say these things to be bitter and, you know, cut down other people. You know, like, the landscape is so vast these days because everyone can afford a little microphone and, you know, hey, I'm, you know, or just this, you know, and yeah, like the Dunning-Kruger effect is live, indirect, in too much effect. And it's really muddying the waters of attention spans and what's out there and just the accessibility of things. And obviously the algorithms don't help out and yada, yada. But, honestly, for any kind of encouragement and all that stuff regarding that, because, yeah, it can be a long, arduous road doing this stuff, especially when you're not getting the type of views or subscribers or whatever you might have thought you had in mind when getting into this stuff. Yeah, expectations can be a bitch. Yet, if we just, you know, keep certain things in the back of our mind or in the forefront at all times of, you know, like, are we doing this for the higher good? And, you know, always keep in mind and remember what has always been reminded to us. Like, we're doing this for a higher fucking cause. And we're doing this for future generations as well. Whatever we're putting out there is getting echoed into the ethers of the you and I verse. And at the same time, please hold tight to the material that you produced, that you value well, and feel free to share the fuck out of it. And are you proud of it? And how are you sharing that? Are you just, you know, throwing a link out there? Like, how is the art of your craft of marketing your own fucking craft? I guess, you know, like, so there's so many layers and levels to, you know, go about this stuff, and it does kind of suck, and it can be kind of daunting, especially if you're like a lot of us where it's been a one-man show for the whole long trek of the road. And yeah, it is great to be collaborating with cool conscious cats like y'all. So I'm going to end it on that, you know, and at the same time, like, yeah, passing it off to our master builder, you know, to keep it somewhat Masonic. And it's not just about that, but what about the inspiration, you know, the ancient, you know, architects of not just, you know, the European Gothic stuff, but I mean, think about the Asian, the African, the Indian and Mesoamerican or in all these places that had like these temples and pyramids and all these structures and sculptures that today we can definitely, I don't like to use the word emulate or replicate rather. But it's always the money and how many corners are trying to get cut in the process. And we have these fucking square box fucking materialistic bitch shit these days because modernism. I don't know. Chris, you know more than me, but tell me what it is and what it be, mon ami.
Hey, man, things aren't going to change all at once. I really wanted to end my talk tonight. Thanks, Derek, for sharing what you did there on perspective. I think that everyone's perspective is crucially important in this reality, in this game, in this situation we find ourselves in. We're all like different little dots on the playing field, and we forget as individuals that our perspective is unique, and there's no other one like it. And we know our own perspective because we are living in it, but other people don't. And when you share yourself, whatever your brand of sharing is, you know, Derek's got his rhymes. Brandon's got the amazing allegorical comparisons. Jim's got these real life stories of things he did. You know, Rick's got these accomplishments of learning incredible skills. Jerry's just down here giving you simple everyday day-to-day advice on simple things right in front of him that he's learned that he can show you, and describing a path for you, you know. So your perspective is extremely valuable, and it's rare and unique, and that's what's hard for you to see, whoever you are as a listener. So just kind of wanted to remind you that, and also that, you know, the hard work, creativity takes courage. That's a quote, Henri Matisse. The hard work is every day in the little things you do. And then, the ignorance and the laziness is all the little things that you don't do. And so it's like I said in the very beginning, it's easy to get overwhelmed, but I've found personally the most practical way to move forward in terms of becoming a better craftsman or mastering any skill or art is working on it, to the extent I'm able, a little bit every day. And the things that we accumulate in that manner pile up to a big giant pile. And I'll just end it with my quick old man story. Years and years ago, I was the first carpenter on a job site, and the foreman set me down with my job, and the truck came in and he dropped off 2 tons of steel. And it was in long 20-foot rods of what we call rebar. And I had a machine that bends the rebar and cuts the rebar, and all day long I had to cut and bend different size pieces and put them in different size piles. And I looked at the end of the day, and all the piles, you know, all the steel had been cut and put into different piles. And I started thinking about it and thinking about that whole pile. It started off as a 2-ton pile of steel, and I picked up each piece, took it over to the bender, cut it, bend it, and set it in a different pile. So I moved each piece twice. So I realized I moved 4 tons of steel that day, you know? And when you look at it from the perspective of the whole day, it seems like, oh, this, there's no way a little skinny guy like Chris could lift 4 tons of steel, but I did. And I didn't do it all at once. And that's not how you're going to perform the great work. And that's not how you're going to reach people. You're going to do it one stick at a time, pull it out, measure it, mark it, put it on the bender, bend it, cut it, put it in the pile. Okay, call it good for today. You got something done. Let's try again tomorrow, right? That's how you're going to get it done, folks. One thing at a time. Start throwing that spaghetti on the wall and start building those bricks, because we need to, or tearing down the wall, however you want to look at it, you know, chipping away at the bricks, maybe, you know. But get involved and make whatever moves you can, because otherwise it's just going by. So, yeah, we need your perspective. Rick,
you want That's to awesome, man.
You're in?
Yeah, I just think – I want to thank you all for joining us here and for all of you guys. I learned so much from you guys. I say that all the time because it's true, and you guys really get me thinking about things. And so this was incredible. This was a great topic. I think this is one that people needed to hear, that it's so important that you have to start taking action. I keep saying that's a step I think that is really lacking, is a lot of people are taking in this information, but they're kind of keeping to themselves, and they don't know how to get it back out there, which is what we're kind of talking about a lot today. And it's amazing. And Brandon, I loved the way you broke that down. I really did. I've been taking notes, actually, because you really nail it. And I'd like to get you on radio to break this down even further, because that's how people are. We are definitely up against dark magicians, and, you know, they're kind of running rampant, and it should be obvious to people by now, but it's not, it seems. And yeah, and I'm kind of going to bring this full circle, because we've been talking about a lot of things, but I agree with at some point tonight we were talking that, you know, one of their main weapons is fear. And that is so true, because as long as they keep you in that fear state, which they do constantly, we're always in that state if you're not aware of it, there's not really any conscious thought or learning being going on, or you can't even really get to that point if you're in that state of fear. And what do? They hide, you know, they do their, well, they're doing a great job of hiding what true objective morality is, what rights truly are. It's incredible that a lot of people don't even know what that is. They promote moral relativism. And when they do that, I always tell people they own you. You know, we're going to remain enslaved forever if this mindset doesn't change. And people have to be, stop getting into arguments with each other and groups and chat rooms. And, you know, you have to stop. This has to, I think it has to stop, because it's a lot of the thing that's going on is this fighting amongst everyone. And, it's just, you know, I mentioned that earlier, and yet I would say that that's got to stop, and that you're going to have to eventually, you know, be willing to take action. You have to be willing to, tear down any, maybe you have some beliefs or you have some things that you really think you know, and as correct information comes in, you've got to be willing to tear that down and build upon another, as more information comes in, build another foundation. And a lot of times I think I know something and then I get more information, I learn more, and I have to be willing to change things and tear things down and rebuild. And I think a lot of people get stuck with their line in the sand and they want to be right and they don't want to move. And that's a big problem. So I would say like Brandon said, become a white magician. Incorporate your passion with your, you know, with correct knowledge and put it out there to the people in your very own unique way. And definitely over time, that is going to make you master your art and your craft. Just do it in your unique way. Find, as I said at the very beginning, what is unique to you and passionate to you, and put it out there, and you're going to hone your craft in. So that's what I'm going to end on. There's definitely a time to do. The time is now to do the great work. And I would also end on that, you know, the great work is so important right now, but so is balance. You have to also take time to pull back and center yourself with something else, because it can get very overwhelming. So I think that balance is very important. And I'm going to end it on that, guys.
Real quick, I'll be very quick. Just want to bring some awareness to my 24/7 live stream that I've created on Twitch. Just another means as far as keeping the flow of information hell available for people, you know. So it's just another channel for me to, you know, have. They have the 24/7, you know, talks, videos, podcasts of her natural law, objective morality, freedom, shadow work, you know, her metaphysics, psychology, philosophy, hell, occultism. All of our videos are on there. I've reached out to some people on the network, and, you know, it's been, you know, very productive, and I want to thank them. I also want to thank the companies that have donated all the technology to make this, you know, to make this have possible. Right now, I think it's 317 videos that are personally on the rotation. More videos will be coming next month. I do plan on reaching out to more individuals. It's a process, you know, can't do it overnight. It's been live for 2 weeks. It's been totally stable, and it's very simple and easy to do. This is something that anyone can do as far as, you know, trying to put the information back out there and at least keeping that stream of information and knowledge flowing. That way others at least have a means that they can educate themselves and maybe possibly start their own journey. You know, not saying it would be ineffective, because of course most people don't really care for the truth, but it's just, again, about serving the truth and at least putting out the information, because at least if the information isn't hell available, then people will never ever even take in how the grammar. And that's really what the, you know, the purpose of the live stream is just to put out the grammar, so at least the knowledge is still hell available. So if you want to check it out, it'll be links. And again, 24/7 live stream on Twitch. Next month, I plan on live 24/7 live streaming to two platforms. Then it'll eventually be three. And who knows after that. So pass it on to Jerry.
Well said. That touches on what Chris said. It's like you don't move 4 tons at once of steel. You move it one at a time, one stick at a time. So kudos to you, Brandon, and I would Say yes, check that out. I should check that out, actually, to get more fact up on objective morality, freedom, and all these things, because I don't want to suffer from the Dunning-Kruger effect, you know? Gotta stay sharp, you know? Like, the technology skills don't mean shit, you know, if my philosophy is off. So, you know, like I said, I have a long way to go still. You know, the white magician is constantly growing. He's the student, too. He's a teacher and a student. So, all right, I'll just finish off with how do I do the great work? So, like Brandon said, engage the two brain hemispheres to enact full brain power and creativity. It's not just the right brain. It's both of them combined, you know? And then visualization is important. Like, I got to see myself doing it, you know, because then it can come to fruition. And that's like, it has to do with creativity as well. If you can't imagine it, then there's something wrong. So practice that. And, you know, I apply the trivia method to this. So essentially I collect the grammar. So I would go to Brandon's 24/7 live stream, collect all the grammar. Don't judge it, you know, just let it soak. And then the strong knowledge will survive and all that weak stuff gets, it's just gone, you know? And then the rhetoric. So I'm still working on this, but it must be done. Like Crypt said, action is required. And, you know, I've been thinking about talking to people about these topics because I think, like Chris said, our perspectives are important. And the more perspectives that, you know, I can get, the better. The better of a story I can tell. And the way I do my research, like, I'm not going to lie, I use YouTube a lot, but, you know, I also want to dive in more to, like, the search engines and read more, read books. But, yeah, there's information is out there. And I have here an AI app called Udly. And you don't even need Udly. You can record yourself using OBS, listen to yourself. Of course, you need to know how to use it. So I recommend typing in a search engine, how to use OBS. Or you can watch Brandon's video on that. And then you can record yourself and just improve. Talk to a friend. Say, hey, I plan on speaking about this. Can you give me any feedback? And then once you receive that feedback, improve. And then here, prepare, test your audio mic, your video, and OBS before recording hours prior. I'm not at that stage, but I figured I'd share that. And then be vulnerable, be yourself, you know? Like at the beginning when I mentioned what Diesel said, you know, I really just love that guy. You know, he's been a huge influence in my life, and that's me. So, and then also have here, I help Richard Grove out cutting Grand Theft World clips. So, essentially what I do is I download his whole full podcast and I find good clips, and they have AI tools for this as well. But essentially, I use DaVinci Resolve, cut the clips, upload them to his media channels. So I'm just saying how I do this stuff. And then I would say to conclude, I would say market these, share these videos, folks. You have, you know, FogTube, whatever, you know, fake book. there's these resources. And now my real conclusion is we need to embrace the phrase just did it versus just do it, like we just did. And I got that from Richard Grove. And then doing the great work is how we serve the truth and take action. I'll pass it to you, Jim.
All right. Thanks, guys. I was just going to say kind of what Jerry was saying about being vulnerable, you know, just in like be weird. Like when it comes to practice, like that's another thing that's very important. Like we have to practice these things, practice being weird. Cause I was very low key about things and like even like turning someone's front yard into a farm. That's weird. And I knew if I did it, it was going to be some kind of, you know, what I was going to get back was not going to be positive, but I kept being weird. And then I started putting out like I got on social media. And if you're just talking about if what you're saying is true, you know, that people are going to think you're weird for saying what's true, but fuck it. You got the truth on your side. You know, you're not saying anything that's not true. You're talking about if you're teaching morality. So practice being weird. That's the message I got for you. Like, cause it gets easier. Like you even start to like it. You're like being, you know, hiding from like being your true self sucks, you know, so you're not even really being weird. People, society thinks you're weird, but fuck it. Be weird then. That's it.
That was awesome.
Cheers, fellas. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, great episode. Thanks, everybody, for coming and sharing what you had.